Good morning. I can recommend the juice. I don't know about you, I was feeling a bit dry. It's kind of, yeah. Well, it's lovely to be with you, and I hope you're enjoying the summer. Last Sunday, I was sharing with our life group, and I was going to put a picture up, but we couldn't work it out how to put a picture on the screen. I got one on my phone, but it's maybe another time. But I was sharing with our life group a story really that, and it's of a plum tree in our garden, and we got this plum tree. In our garden, it's a dwarf plum tree. I think we bought it when we had our patio redone, I think. And it's just like a little dwarf tree. It's not very pretty, but despite all the hot weather, it's produced all these wonderful plums. And I was looking at this last week, and it's laden with fruit. It's got these big branches laden with fruit, and I was sitting outside with Daniel and just looking at the tree, and I remember looking up on the web, you know, how to care for a vine, and I thought, well, there might be something in that I can apply to this tree. And the advice for caring for vines is that you can cut away some of the leaves so that the fruit can ripen. And that you can remove some of the fruit, you know, so the tree is not overburdened, you know, so the branches don't break. And this cleans up the vine, and it makes it stronger and more fruitful. And so on the spur of the moment, I kind of went and grabbed Debbie's secateurs, because Debbie does most of the gardening in our house, and set to work, and all the mouldy fruit. And we've been away on holiday, so there was a bit of, you know, bit of care needed. I kind of touched it up. I removed the mouldy fruit, all that sort of stuff that was touching, and the branches that were dragging on the ground, I cut those off too. And it gradually started to look a lot better. And this week we've had some, you know, all those kind of, hard plums, you know, they've all ripened up, they all turn rosy red, and they're just ready. We've had some lovely fruit. So I shared this last week at Life Group, and it reminded me of the verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where it says, "He makes everything beautiful in his time." He makes everything beautiful in its time. And all true believers, we are connected into the vine. And there's a bit of parallel, plum tree vine, but there we go. Romans 15 says that you yourself are full of goodness. You are filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. And that speaks to me that, you know, the knowledge and goodness that we have comes from the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It comes from God. It comes from our relationship with God. And as I thought about that tree, and I thought about the environment that I live in, you know, my family, the church, where God has placed each one of us, that we, through the Spirit of God, with the love of God in us, can take action to play our part in keeping the vine healthy. So, yeah, we talked about loneliness this morning, haven't we? You know, that's part of it, isn't it? We care for one another. We look after one another. Firstly, you know, I think that comes through in how we conduct and care for our own lives, isn't it? And then secondly, it's caring for those that God brings across our path. So there's two parts to this, in keeping the vine healthy. And I was just struck that, you know, God wants us to be proactive in this. You know, we can actively manage our own patch as such. And God wants to work through us that we might see the beauty of God in every aspect of our lives. You know, not just our not just church. So that was last week, and this week I'd like to build on this, because I've been kind of reading about the parable of the vine and the branches. So this Sunday we're going to consider that parable. So that's John chapter 15, and it's a familiar passage, isn't it? But I pray that the Holy Spirit will just enlighten it for us this morning as we read it afresh, as we read it together, that it will just bring it to life. So let's pray and just ask him to do that, shall we? Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that you're here with us, Lord, and thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, you are our helper. And we just pray, Lord, that as we read your word, you just illuminate it to us, Lord. You just speak to us through your word. And you just you just impress this on our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, as we go through this passage, James is going to put it up on the board in a minute. So it's John 15, it's the first 17 verses. Look out for the interplay that comes in between the three main characters. So we've got God the Father, we've got Jesus, and we've got those that know Christ. And this is primarily speaking, I believe, to those that know Christ, but I think it also is also speaking to those that might think that they know Jesus as well. So just watch out for that. Secondly, look out for the action words in these passages. There's quite a bit of repetition, but there's call to action. There's something to do. And thirdly, just look out for the result of those actions, what God's promised in all of this. So let's read this together. So it's John 15, 1 to 17. Okay, great. It's on the board as well. Thanks, James. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 9. And as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy may be complete. And my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. For greater love has no one other than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fast. The Father will give you, this is my command, love one another. I think it's going to be helpful if you keep the scriptures in front of you. As I unpack this, there's a lot in there, isn't there? It kind of repeats itself. This is the language, isn't it, of relationship. It's a lovely passage, isn't it? It's beautiful. Jesus and the Father. Jesus and his friends. Are you a friend of Jesus? I hope so. Are you a good friend of Jesus? Are you a close friend? This is a picture of vine, isn't it? Jesus is the vine. And you've got Father God tending the vine. What's the purpose of a vine? Food. Yeah. It's to produce grapes, isn't it? Yeah. To be fruitful. What's the purpose of Jesus? To bear fruit, isn't it? He came to bear fruit, didn't he? Eternal fruit that lasts, that brings glory to God, his Father. And specifically, he came, didn't he, to seek and to save the lost. Those that were disconnected from God, he came to reconnect. That was his mission. So what's the purpose of being a friend, a disciple of Jesus? It's exactly the same, isn't it? To be like him, to continue his mission, bearing fruit, eternal fruit that will last, that brings glory to God the Father. So yeah, how does this all come about then? As the Father has loved me, says Jesus, so have I loved you. This is possible because the Father's great love for those he created. This is possible because of Jesus' relationship with his Father. And he says, I and the Father are one. You know, when we see Jesus, we see the Father, don't we? His one aim is to bring glory to God the Father. And he did this through obedience to his Father's commands. And even to death on a cross, he said, not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus is the only, the one and only true vine. He's the only one that connects us with the Father. And in him, we are also one. And I just want to picture that in your mind. So often we do feel separate, don't we, in some ways. We are one with God. We've been accepted into his family. We come into relationship with God through Jesus. Jesus says, for everything I learned from my Father, this is a powerful statement, I have made known to you. Everything. Whatever the Father has given, Jesus has passed on to us. He's held nothing back. He gave everything, didn't he, on the cross. And everything has been made available to us through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. All the riches of his inheritance, all the wisdom. So, a bit of a recap on that then. So, through Jesus, we can be friends of God. We can have a relationship with God that is fruitful, that brings glory to God. And this is a good relationship demonstrated by the relationship that Jesus had with his Father. And in this passage, we're introduced to Jesus, the true vine. And through relationship with him, we know God. And that's just mind-blowing, isn't it? Verse 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." He chose us and he appointed us to bear fruit. Not as servants, it's not a servant relationship, but as friends. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful to be chosen by God to be his friend? Not just an acquaintance, not just an employee, or some kind of servant, but as a friend. And not a friend at arm's length, but one chosen to partner with him in the things that are closest to his heart. To be appointed to bear glorious fruit. Isn't that amazing? Verse 13 says, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." Yeah. This is how he sees us. He laid down his life for you because he chose you to be his friend. Isn't that amazing? He became the way, the truth, and the life for you, that you would know his love for you. And as he laid down his life for you on the cross, he held nothing back. He made the highest sacrifice to give you the opportunity to know him in all his fullness. For you to be connected to the vine. And as he offers you the hand of friendship, he's offering you something far beyond our earthly understanding of friendship. He's offering you access into an eternal relationship. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? Yeah, it's eternal. I think Sandra said something about eternal. A relationship that he knows is full of joy. And that your joy will be complete. Yeah? Not just a little bit, but complete. So, I'm excited by this. In this passage, he describes two scenarios. Number one is the way of fruitfulness. It's a close relationship with him. A relationship that's dependent on the vine. And the second way is being apart from him. And it's a way that's barren. It's unfruitful. It's dry. And that seems to be the choice, doesn't it? And he says, "You are the branches. You are the branches." He makes it very clear. And we have to ask ourselves, what kind of branch am I? I've got to ask that to myself. What kind of branch am I? Am I a branch of the true vine? Have I made that choice? Have I made that choice of my own free will to enter into this friendship with Jesus? Have I committed my life to the Master? And if you've not made that choice, then you're not connected. Simple as that. You're not connected. You've never been connected. And as a result, you've not yet received the joy and the peace that comes from knowing him. And Jesus tells us he wants us to know his joy in all his fullness, that his joy may be complete. This is his objective. He wants to be complete. His joy in us. And it's very possible to be in the church and not be a friend, of Jesus. And in fact, there's been many religious who call themselves Christians. And sadly, they're not yet discovered that this means being in a relationship with Jesus. Being a disciple is all about being in relationship. That's how he created us to be. Just like the vine. It's a glorious relationship. We have to be connected. Otherwise, it doesn't work. What's the true sign of a follower of Jesus Christ? By their fruit, you will know them. That's what it says, isn't it? So it's not by how religious they are, how much knowledge they have, what they say even. It's by their fruit. Isn't that beautiful? I just love the way that, you know, this is how he meant it to be. And if you look at this passage and look at your life and relationship with Jesus, and if these things don't reconcile, if you're living some different life, means to be a Christian, don't go here or there looking for answers, for more theology, more understanding. The only answer you need to know is Jesus is a true vine. You need to know Jesus, a friend that's closer than a brother, as the precious life-giving flow of the Holy Spirit flows through the vine. Yeah, he brings that relationship to life. It's about having a personal relationship with him. Jesus, a true vine. So, it's not about church, it's not about religion. You're connecting with the creator of the universe who has chosen you for fruitfulness. And he wants to call you as friend. Yeah, praise God. I don't know, here today, but if you've not made that choice to follow him yet, to enter into that relationship, then make that decision today. Don't delay. For there is a day coming when Jesus will return for his own. Yeah, he's coming again. And he's coming for those that have received him. And if we make that choice for him, then we are grafted into him. They're grafted into that vine, and the joy of the Lord is ours. For those that are in a relationship with him, and I trust that that's us today, his good counsel comes over so loud and clear in this passage, doesn't it? I don't know how many times he says it. We must remain in him. We must remain in him. And that got me thinking, what does this mean? And I'm sure you'll have lots of questions. What does it mean to remain in him? Some Bible translations say abide. Abide is, it's a nice word, isn't it? Abide. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? You know, we've said we don't have a servant-master relationship, do we? This is a friendship. But what does that mean? It means we can make our own choices. We have freedom, don't we, to make our choices. And we can either nurture this relationship or we can live apart from God, our Maker. You know, we've been adopted into his family. We've been with all the privileges of belonging. We have the assurance of being secure in him. And he's provided for us a salvation we just simply don't deserve. Whichever way we look at it, we just don't deserve this grace that he's lavished on us. You know, it's a complete work of his love and his grace towards us. But we can still forsake him, can't we? We can still forsake the vine. We can try and go it alone, And we might not realize it, that we're doing that sometimes. You know, things might crowd in and we go off on our own, in our own steam. Yeah, where is God in that? And I don't know how many times Jesus makes the point, but the only way, he says, the only way is to remain in him, to abide in him. And apart from him, we can do nothing, it says. Nothing. Nothing of any internal consequence. Remain in him. Remain in him. So that tells me it's not possible to remain. It is possible not to remain in him as well. The fact that he's underlining this so many times. We can forsake him for the love of others. We can forsake him for the love of the world, can't we? And Jesus describes it here in this passage, such as branches that wither and die. They bear no fruit. They're picked up and they're thrown away and destined to be burnt. It's a pretty damning thing, isn't it? And that leads me to question whether these branches were really connected to the vine in the first place. Did they really, have they got this relationship? It reminds me of the parable of the seeds. You know, where you've got the seeds that are sown on the different types of soil, and each seed has a chance, doesn't it, to flourish and grow. But only the seed that's placed in the good soil, only the seed that's nurtured, that's the one that flourishes and establishes itself. And there's a sober warning here, I believe, for those that we might call nominal Christians. Those that are sitting on the fence, one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and never really making a commitment to be a true disciple. And the Father sees those whose are his. This is the beauty, isn't it? We've got the perfect God, the perfect wisdom of God, and he sees everything. And this is the picture. We've got the vine, we've got Jesus, the vine, we're connected to the vine. And we've got the Father who sees those who are his, those branches that are producing fruit. And he's looking for fruit, and he's looking for much fruit, and he's looking for more fruit. And he's not going to take any passengers in his kingdom. Only those who truly enter into this relationship with Jesus, his son. And this passage tells me that this relationship is also progressive. It's meant to grow. It's meant to develop. There's a progressiveness about it. Elsewhere in the Bible, it says that we go from glory to glory. And I just love that, because it's a very positive way of putting it, isn't it? Glory to glory. Different levels. And there's the lovely picture here is that God the Father is a gardener. He oversees the vine and the branches. And he's a master gardener. He's an expert pruner. He's not like me, who just kind of cuts things off and hopes for the best. He knows the very end from the beginning. He sees what's coming. He sees our full potential, what we can become. And as a good father, he disciplines us and he shapes us up. He cuts the bits off that are doing us no good. And that can be painful sometimes, can't he? He patiently removes that dead fruit, that dead wood in our lives. And in the footnotes in my Bible, it says the term prunes is the same as cleans. It says it cleans us up. He cuts back the branches of the vine so that they can go on to bear much more fruit. There's greater glory yet to come. So be encouraged. Sometimes we can get discouraged, can't we? And sometimes we find ourselves wondering, where on earth is God when we're struggling, when we're down? You know, when life is tough, you know, we don't always understand. what's going on. Maybe God's having a bit of a prune. I don't know. Something to think about. Remember, our heavenly gardener is always at work. Trust that he knows what's best for you. Submit yourself to him. Trust that he's working his wonders in you to transform you. And he's going to raise you up at the right time so you can flourish in his perfect will and plan for you. So, I'm sure you're getting the picture. I think it's a beautiful picture. There's only one Jesus. There's one Father God. There's one Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit of the vine, the Holy Trinity. And remaining in him is essential. He's our lifeline. He's the very source of eternal life. And he's the one that shapes us for better things. The old must go before the new fruit can come. So, practically, how do we remain in him? And my first thought was we just do as Jesus did. I and my Father are one. It comes out of that relationship we have, that day-to-day relationship, doesn't it? That Jesus had. It's a close relationship. It's a friendship. It's honest, isn't it? He came to talk to his Father every morning, didn't he? It's a joyful relationship. It's a loving relationship. If we can have the John 14 verse, James. Just read John 14, 15 to 21. It's a relationship that's, you know, he gave us the Holy Spirit, didn't he? He promised us the Holy Spirit. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because you know him. Be within you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. It's a wonderful passage. You know, as he was standing with his disciples, he said, better it is that I go so the Holy Spirit can come. He's an advocate to help you and be with you forever. Yeah, the ever-present help of the Holy Spirit. So practically, how do we remain in him? Yes, the Holy Spirit gives us that help, doesn't it? That indwelling, you can't get any closer than that God with us. He's not left us as orphans. Remain in me, he says, remain in me, read my words. Keep my commandments. Love one another. So, I've come up with three actions to abide in him. Be diligent. Be diligent in maintaining our walk with him. That's reading and studying his word. We've got to know his words. And we've got to apply it to our lives. And we've got to be diligent in prayer. We've got to talk to him. You can't have a relationship if we don't talk. Number two, be obedient to do what he's commanded us to do. Love one another. And number three, be faithful and persevere. in remaining true to him and his word and trusting in his promises and his plan that he knows best. And he will come through on his promises because that's the God he is. So that's three things. Be diligent, be obedient, and be faithful. Persevere. And I'm sure there's probably others you can add to that as well. We are to abide in him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. I wonder, how are your vital signs this morning? Hopefully I've not sent you all to sleep. Are you seeing the fruit of God in your life? Do you know the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you? Is he cleansing you? Is he crafting you? Can you feel that? Can you feel that? You know, that the Holy Spirit is working in your life? Can you say that? Just like the potter shaping the clay, he's making it into what he wants it to be. Are you connected to Jesus, the true vine? How is your relationship with him? I think it'd be good for us just to reflect on that for a moment. So I'm going to invite you to talk with him right now, just to check in and say, how is my connection with you, Lord? Just give that a minute. Remember, his love never fails. He never gives up on you. He stands at the door knocking of our hearts. You know, he's so eager to have fellowship with us. He just wants us to have that conversation. You know, it's such a precious thing being connected to Christ. And I pray that this coming week that you can really put this into practice in some practical way about remaining in him. How can you remain in him more and more? I don't know. I think maybe there's some practical step of faith you can take. I don't know. Go for a walk. Talk to the Lord. I don't know what that might look like, you know, just maybe just a new place of where you read the word together. I don't know. But perhaps we can discuss this at life groups next weekend, you know, kind of come with your ideas and, you know, what have you done this week to advance your remaining in him? Yeah, just think about that. And we can encourage one another with a testimony of what God is doing in our lives. It's good to reflect, isn't it, sometimes? Just that relationship we have with him, our relationship with him as a true vine, and for us just to see how essential it is just to keep that living life of the Holy Spirit in us. Yeah. That conduit to him. Yeah, just open. Amen? Amen. Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Andy. One thing that's come through very clearly this morning is our relationship with the Lord, isn't it? And how we need to just keep that fresh, just keep refreshing that relationship with him. How much do you think God loved Jesus? Absolute. Complete. Yeah? It says here, as the Father has loved me. Yeah? How much? Fair bit. So also have I loved you. How much does the Father and the Son love you? It's all about relationship, isn't it? It's all about, as Andy's encouraged us, to really abide in him and to really understand what that relationship's about. There's no place for loneliness in that, is there? There's no place for loneliness in the body of Christ. But it creeps in. Let's be honest, let's be practical. We started off this morning by thinking, you know, when we leave, I really just want to encourage us all to encourage one another to get more into the Word. And he's been encouraging us to really understand what it means to abide. Let's help one another, to build one another up, to encourage one another, to understand what it is to know the love of the Lord. Yeah? God is good. We have an amazing Father. We have an amazing relationship. The potential is just enormous. Let's really see if we can understand that more. Let's just be encouraged. Let's go back and understand what it is to, like Andy says, just, okay, where is my relationship? Let's improve it. Let's get that hunger, that thirst for his ways. So, Father, we thank you for your time with us this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can understand your word, that you speak to us so clearly, that there is such a clear theme each time we meet together, Lord, that you just ask us to understand a bit more, to drill down into just that wee bit more. And I pray, Lord, as we go through this week, that we would understand more and more what that means. Lord, I pray too that you just give us the right words as we encourage one another, just to speak words of wisdom, words of life into those around us, Lord. I thank you, you've put us in the body of Christ. I thank you, Father, for the privilege that it is to be a child of the King, to be in your family. And I pray, Lord, that you just help us to encourage one another, to build one another up. In Jesus' name, amen. So enjoy fellowship, enjoy a cup of tea and a biscuit, and encourage one another.